Let's just start this now, then. The square and the round. This podcast, what are we up to?
This is episode 4 right here.
You've told me the video is laggy.
Video's laggy a bit, but...
Should I match the audio with the video so it doesn't seem off?
Well, you know, the way the camera sits and the way you position yourself, it's kind of hard. You can't, your mouth is kind of covered up, so it still looks okay.
It's intentional. Yeah, I always, right. You see how I get in my... Like a little pod. And then somebody said, you don't even wear headphones. You don't care anything about this. I'm like, that's right.
That's right.
I come in. You do all the work. You do all the work for this.
Well, listen, this is a low energy situation. It's just for fun.
Remember last week, I hadn't even showered.
Yeah.
I went
that's how little you care.
I went to the gym. I hadn't even showered. I came back. I said, you know, it's just BB Shea. He's not going to care. Then you made a comment that I smelled and I was triggered a little bit and this and that, you know. So today I said, no, I'm going to shower for him. I'm going to put in some effort here and shower.
Listen, you can do whatever you want. I don't care.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't mind. I don't mind the smell. It is what it is.
That's right. That's right. Let me ask you this. Yeah. You did, this is your second podcast of the day.
Yeah.
And earlier someone said, you know, you're going to get lackluster effort from BB Shea. He's already doing one. You know,
Can you do two podcasts in a day? Yeah.
I'll ask you this question. I thought about this because I think you're pretty smart about stuff like this. I am not really on Twitter sometimes, occasionally. You on there?
Yes, but not active.
Okay. I can't remember. I don't think we talked about this last week, but you know, Twitter, since Elon Musk has taken over, switched to X.
It's had a weird history ever since he came on board.
He's criticized a lot. Now, I'm one of the few here that mine still has the bird on there.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
Still a bird.
Let's see.
Most people have switched over to X. And I'm told, actually, that this could be, like, worth a lot of money.
Oh, look at that. See, it's weird because I don't know if you categorize your apps.
I do. But I see there.
Yeah, so I have social media, but from the outside, it has the bird. But when I click on it...
It does the X.
The X shows up.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, like a little double whammy there.
I think this is awful marketing by Elon Musk. I think that bird is so ingrained in people's heads.
It is.
Even though it's only, what, 12 years old, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I just think, how can a guy that smart to have started Tesla, he got his start, I was just reading about it, I think he sold off PayPal.
He created PayPal or was involved in it to some extent.
Big time.
Yeah.
And he's sending people to space and all that stuff. How can a guy that seemingly smart think it's a good idea to change from something that is so ingrained in people's heads? Wouldn't it be like McDonald's changing the golden arches?
Yeah, it'd be completely. And no, I get what you're saying, but I always feel like he's got something. He knows something that we don't know.
You think?
I do.
You think so? You're okay with him?
And you know, this whole rebrand may be a reason for him to. Maybe he's just trying to rebrand it completely.
Well, here he's trying to, and I don't know. I've been told this that he's trying to make it like some of these Chinese apps where it's not just about social media, it's about spending your money there, and it'll be like a shopping spot and a credit card.
So like living your life through an app.
But I just felt like Twitter, and even if you do that, it seems like, why not keep the bird the same logo? You don't have to change everything.
Well, because I think Twitter's gotten a bad rep over the last couple of years due to censorship and, you know, kind of cutting people off who are there just to speak their mind, which I feel like that's what the platform is for, and people should be able to do that within reason, of course.
Well, would you have gotten Donald Trump off there?
No, I wouldn't have taken him off there.
Even though he has such power.
Yeah.
I wouldn't either.
You know, the January 6th thing, wasn't he like kind of inciting people to go?
Depends on who you ask.
Exactly. Sure. So,
I mean, he said some things that you could take as being inciting. Yeah. You know my take on January 6th? I told you this, didn't I? On January 6th, I mentioned this on the radio show. You know, I do a radio show. This is my main thing, but I do a radio. But on January 6th, this is how I am about stuff like that. I'm so, like, I don't want to get into it. On January 6th, I was at home doing what I always do in the afternoon, watching TV. Mm-hmm. Friends. At that time, I was on. Right now, I'm on a Shark Tank jag, but at that time, it was all Friends. So I'm in the middle of it. I get a text from a friend of mine. You know him. Mm-hmm. And he goes, the whole world is in tank. And I just looked at it like, what? Literally, that's what it said. The whole world is coming to an end. And then another guy, we were on a group text, and somebody else had a thing, like a JPEG or a meme, and it had somebody spraying gasoline on fire. And it was like, that's Donald Trump spraying gas. And I thought, what in the world is going on? Because I'm just right in the middle of Monica and Rachel and, you know.
Just oblivious to
real
everything.
Real good season, too. Yeah. Like season 3. Really good. Like Ross and Rachel were getting together and breaking up. Yeah. Anyhow. So I said, well, let me go over to CBS and see what's going on here, you know. So I flip over there. Well, there are all those people hanging from the
dude with the bison hat on. That guy, yeah.
And you know what I said? I made a conscious choice right there. I said, you know what? I'm going to ignore this entirely. And
this this is going to fizzle out. It's going to be a big deal.
I felt like it would be a big deal. Yeah. But I said, I'm going to choose to take myself out of this and go right back to friends. And I really haven't regretted that decision. I know what happened. But I haven't seen hardly any footage of that, so I'm not going to be part of this ridiculousness up here, sitting in Nancy Pelosi's chair, you know?
I'm so out of touch politically. That whole situation had no beacon on me.
Well,
like,
I felt the
same. I was at a bonfire that night at a buddy's house.
So were they.
Yeah. And
they were. You could have been at the Capitol.
I might as well have been
there.
But, like, you know, I was at this bonfire, and everybody was like, yeah, did you hear what's going on? I'm like, hey, it's just a thing.
I was the same. I put my head right in the sand on that. But I do feel that Donald Trump should have been and still should be allowed on Twitter. Because I think it's...
Yeah.
You know, but then what if somebody gets on there and gets so much power, you know, and starts to do something like a Hitler or,
so
you know.
So if you're blatantly telling people to do malicious things, obviously, I think there's a fine line.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking your mind politically about something, I don't think that should be cause for having to get kicked off of an app. I feel like that's what that's there for.
Mm-hmm,
you know, so people can have a platform. And I think that's what's been good about social media is people who don't feel like they have a voice feel like they have a voice.
Well, it's true. But, of course, then it's people who really shouldn't have a voice.
True. You're very right. Yeah.
Go out there and, you know, then, of course, people get very dug in on whatever position, whatever side they're in. Let me ask you this now. This is a bit of a controversy, and this is about branding and so forth as well. I was just talking with somebody, some friends of mine as well, saying, what should Bud Light do now? I think you said to me that you thought that was such a marketing blunder by Bud Light.
Just
from a pure marketing standpoint, to think, here's this great blue-collar, identified with America beer, and... just a tiny little mistake like that has brought so much backlash against them. And now I see them advertising, again, like, I'm the guy that cans the beer.
You know, relatable stuff.
But when I see it, I see then articles saying, do you believe what Bud Light's doing? They're trying to get in. They're trying to bring us back like this. To me, it's the only thing they can do.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm not a marketing genius, but I feel like something that's very important to know is your audience, and I don't understand what the decision process was with that. Clearly a bad decision, but they have to try to do something.
They're struggling. If I were in charge of Bud Light, that's exactly what I would do.
You can't dive headfirst into what you already did. You have to try to backtrack a little bit.
I would go all about America, small town, feel good, here's our beer. And just bring it back to what it was, and I would advertise very heavily on the NFL and NASCAR and places people that really enjoy that beer go. But I'll tell you right now, somebody just told me that they were out on the beach, and one of those planes that has an advertisement had Bud Light behind it. Everybody gave it a finger. And I was like, what?
And see, that's the part. I feel like it's acting at this point for the people who aren't drinking it. They miss it so bad. They are so tired of drinking Coors Light and Miller Light. They want to drink it against. I do. I think it's grandstanding at this point.
Bud Light is my beer of choice.
Yes, what I'm saying.
It is. Well, but I haven't had a beer in...
I know what you're.
I'm on a weight loss program.
I know what you're on.
And you did it.
I did it too. Yeah.
I
was not a successful.
It wasn't a successful.
I wasn't bought in completely, but that's just my fault. That's my fault. Yeah.
But I haven't had a beer. It started in January. I started doing this thing at the gym where I was trying to lose weight, and it's extended on. So that's been how long? 8 months now.
So it's a beer since you've had a beer.
Yeah, and I used to have a beer, you know, every couple of weeks, and certainly on the beach or on vacation I would have. And it was always Bud Light. I would always drink Bud Light because I found it affordable and tasted good.
It's easy to drink.
Got the job done, and I could knock back on the beach. Good Lord, like water.
Yeah.
I could drink it. I loved it. And I am not protesting them by not buying. I just haven't had it because I'm not having beer.
I drink Budweiser. I drink Bud Heavy.
Really?
Yeah, that's my favorite beer to drink.
Over Bud Light?
Over Bud Light, yeah.
Has Budweiser suffered at all?
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
But I've always been a Budweiser guy over Bud Light. I've never been a big Bud Light guy.
And you've liked the Bud brand better than like a Miller or a Coors?
Yeah, overall.
Boy, they have.
First thing I got drunk on was a Budweiser.
What age?
I was 21. I did not start drinking until I was 21 years old.
Do you know the first time I got drunk, I was working at a radio station in Asheboro, NC, where I'm from. And my friend, who was a terrible influence on me and continues to be, he's now living in Minnesota, but he's a terrible influence. And he took me up. He's like, well, we're going to get drunk tonight. I said, I don't know. I was like 17. He said, we're getting drunk. And I said, no, we shouldn't do that. But he took me on top. The radio station was out up on a mountain.
Yeah.
And it closed down at like midnight. So we were on the mountain and we saw the people leave at midnight. And it was him, me, a couple other guys, some girls. And he brought out Mad Dog 2020. Are you familiar?
I am familiar with Mad Dog.
God.
Yeah.
My God, it might as well be like some sort of a drain cleaner.
That's a hell of a thing to get drunk on your first time.
I did get drunk on that. Yeah. And that was rough. I'm not a big drinker anyway, sure. But that was rough. And so he was like, come on. And we were doing shots of Mad Dog 2020. And then later, probably 6 months later, we went to the beach for our, well, maybe a year, for our high school graduation. And he brought like shots of tequila. And God, he's such a terrible influence.
Yeah,
I mean, and he was always the party guy and sex and girlfriends, and there I was throwing up, and it was a
terrible.
It's
good to have someone like that around within moderation.
Do you know, he, our first day of college, he wound up going to a party, having sex, having a great time, and losing his wallet. I was with my parents at the Daniel Boone Inn.
Some people just do it differently.
Like,
man.
We met after the weekend, and he said, what did you do? I said, I had the best fried chicken and okra and collard greens and mashed potatoes. I said, what did you do? He goes, I got laid. I already have a girl that I'm, you know, hooking up with. I got drunk. We had a great party. And I just was like, our weekends really couldn't have been any different. Yeah. He's like, but I lost my wallet, which he always did too, by the way.
Speaking of alcohol, you know, we've been doing this for a while, and every week I come up with a question to pose to you.
Yes,
and
yes.
I got one for you this week.
Please.
What is the weirdest thing that you've ever done to make money, or the most unusual thing you've ever done to make money?
Well, you know, two things, really. Well, let's see. I worked a lot of, like, restaurants when I was, like, 18.
Yeah.
But probably I dressed up as the Peter Pan peanut butter jar. You don't know.
The full jar?
The full jar. One night at a minor league baseball game, they needed somebody to play, like, at the last minute, the Peter Pan peanut butter jar. Yeah. And I got in it, and I had to entertain the crowd, like shake hands with the kids and stuff. God, I did that. And I also dressed up so I did that very poorly, the Peter Pan jar. And I had to throw out the first pitch at the minor league baseball game, and it went behind me.
As the peanut butter jar?
Yeah, because I couldn't get my arm going. And they all booed me.
Why would they expect you to like be active in that thing?
I don't know. I even have a picture of it somewhere where the ball's behind me. Somebody circled the ball. Really terrible. But years before that, when I was in high school, I worked at the radio station called the Kickin' Chicken. And I was, I dressed up as their mascot, the Kickin' Chicken.
Yeah.
And went to the grand opening of the JCPenney at the Randolph Mall. And the children could not have been more frightened of me. Imagine me as a giant chicken.
What year was this?
1988.
Okay.
They opened the JCPenney in the Randolph Mall. 88, 89. I was a junior, senior in high school. And those children ran from me. And then around the corner came something like, it was Winnie the Pooh. And they loved Winnie the Pooh. And there I was, this chicken with my head just like, what?
How much did you get paid to do that?
I believe for the chicken, I got $50. And for the peanut butter, I got $100.
Hey, look at you now, man.
Yeah.
You came such a long way.
Well, I'm still charging those same rates. Those are when I go out somewhere, that is what I get. But that's a lot. What's the strangest thing you've ever done for money? You don't have much money as it is.
Yeah, I'm still broke, man.
You're living with your parents. You're poor. You dress better than I do. But other than that, you're poor, right?
When I was 16, I worked with the Alcohol Beverage Commission as a snitch.
What?
So one day's work, I went out with undercover police officers to try to get ABC stores and grocery stores to try to sell me alcohol.
You did that?
I did that.
That's a great job.
It was so much fun because the way I got the job was weird. This lady came up to me and was like, hey, you want to work for me? I'm like, sure. She goes, we're going to go try to get you to buy some alcohol.
Yeah.
So I drove around in my 93 powder blue Ford Escort around the local town and walked into random ABC stores and grocery stores and tried to buy alcohol.
And were you successful?
I never got sold, but I still got paid though.
So they were good. They didn't sell it to you.
I did get detained someplace. Yeah. There was an ABC store. This lady got mad at me. I didn't know anything about alcohol at the time.
Did you have a fake ID?
No, they said, don't lie to them.
Really?
Just go up there and be honest and try to buy the alcohol. So I walked into an ABC store and the cheapest thing I could find was this $6 bottle of gin.
Right.
So I took the gin up to the counter and she looks at the gin. She looks back at me. She goes, let me see your ID.
Uh-huh.
I hand her my ID. She looks at it. She goes, how old are you? I said, 16. She goes, your ID says you're 16. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's what I said.
Yeah.
She goes, why are you trying to buy alcohol? I'm like, trying to have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
She goes, come with me. So she takes me behind the counter up these stairs to this like holding room,
right?
Really?
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm sitting there freaking out. Then I remember, oh, I'm with the police.
Right. You're
and so she sits there. She goes, I'm calling the cops.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God.
You should have said, I am the cops.
I didn't think about that at the time. I was 16. I was scared.
Yeah.
And she comes up like 5 minutes later and she goes, get the hell out of here.
Really?
The cop I was with was like, come on, man. We're good.
No so kidding.
That was like the most random thing I've ever done.
Boy, that's pretty on the, that's like undercover FBI.
It was pretty fun, man. I got paid like $150. I got a free meal and a full tank of gas.
You know, my son is 18. He's getting ready to go off to college.
Yeah.
And we had the other day, my wife's family, they had my sister-in-law, they've just moved into a new house fairly recently. They have a pool. So they had a big pool party the other day. So we're all at the pool. And I was actually in the pool. And my son was standing next to my wife's cousin, who's my age. And she has a son in college. And she says to my son, and I hear this, she goes, listen, I got a good hookup for you if you want a fake ID. And
what?
I was like, what? I looked at her like, I'm here. I'm
what?
Standing here.
What a brazen thing to say.
Yeah, and she goes, you know, not to drink, but like to get, I know you want to get into some clubs where you can't, not to drink, but I got a real good hookup. She's like, I got him one, talking about her son. I was like, are you out of your, I'm standing right here.
What kind of grown woman still has a hookup for
fake IDs?
How do you still know how to get that?
She got a good one. I don't know.
What?
I don't know, but she had one. When I was in college, a friend of mine made his own fake ID in the dorm. I walked. This is how square. Talk about the square and the round. This is how square I was. I walked into his dorm room, and he had a big piece of poster board on the wall that looked exactly like the license, the driver's license for the state of Mississippi. Yeah. Have you seen that before? It was like the size of. So
yeah, like you just kind of stand in front of it and he takes the picture. Yeah,
so
I've
he
seen
did
that before.
It. And I was like, what's that? I said, are you doing a project? He goes, yeah, doing a project.
Yeah, big one.
And I said, what in the world? And I was like, that looks like, he goes, yeah, it's a driver's license project I'm doing. And I said, why'd you choose Mississippi? He's like, I wanted the longest, hardest state to spell.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, that's really neat. Well, he had done a bunch of research pre-internet on the easiest, like you always do out of state.
Yeah.
He got the lettering just right. Had some intricate like S's on it, you know.
It is written in a weird font.
It's font. Well, he got that just right. He got the maroon color. And then he, you know, my friend, the one who got drunk all the time, he was like, nah, dude, don't be such a nerd. You know, you can put your face in there. It's a fake ID. And he made it beautiful. And he chose the name he used instead of his name, which was Brian Anderson. I'm going to go ahead and say that now. Jeez, right here on the
brazen. Sorry, Brian.
Absolutely
sorry,
brazen. He chose his middle name and he used the last name Stipe because he was a huge REM fan. And so he was like, I don't know what his middle name was, like Michael, or it wasn't Michael, but it was like, you know, Thomas Stipe. And so he, because he's an REM fan, and he used it to
It worked. It
still worked absolutely beautifully. Yeah. Did you know now? I read this story recently. This is about teenagers. And, you know, Juul, the vape.
Yeah, yeah.
Never vape much.
I a little bit.
Have you?
I still kind of vape a little
You're doing some vaping?
Yeah, a little bit.
I like that.
Yeah, you know. A little CBD here and there. You know
I know
what
you do the CBD. Do you like the vape? Because you know how vaping, when you blow the smoke out, it's trailing for hours.
It's not ideal, but it gets the job done, you know.
You know, Juul got in trouble because they market. It's about marketing as well, like Bud Light and Twitter. They marketed to kids Juul, the number one brand in vaping. Mm-hmm. And so they had a big lawsuit against them because they had marketed to teenagers.
Yeah.
Well, now, and I don't know how this works, but they say they have come up with something now that the Juul itself, the vape itself, will only work if you're of age. Like you have to put your print into your phone, and then once you slide the Juul across the phone, it'll work for you. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you have to be of age or it won't
work.
Why
don't they use that type of technology on something productive? Why are they using that for vapes? That's incredible.
That's a great piece of technology. Yeah. I wish I knew exactly how it works.
I thought like when you put your mouth on it, it scans your DNA like 17.
No, it
doesn't work.
You have to set it up with your phone. But then if you don't get it across the phone just right, because you know you do it one time on your phone, okay, I'm 21 or 18 or whatever you have to be. And so, if you're 16, it won't work for you.
Also, I completely missed when they changed the age to buy tobacco to 21.
Have they done that?
It literally just happened like 2 years ago.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
It used to be 18.
Yeah, it's like, so I would work at a grocery store and there'd get a bunch of young kids working there.
Yeah.
And a kid would be like, you know, my birthday's today, I'm turning 18. I'm like, oh, you can buy cigarettes now.
Yeah.
Like, nah, gotta wait till I'm 21.
No.
Like, bro.
When I was when I was in high school and I worked at a barbecue restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we had, I'm going to see if you're of the, you're 20 years younger than me. Do you remember when, I mean, we had a cigarette machine in the lobby of the, in the vestibule there of the restaurant, and it said must be 16, but of course you just walk up to it and put your money in. There's
they're not carding you on that. No.
No, it was in the lobby of the restaurant. Do you remember those machines?
I don't.
And you could buy it. You bought, and it was a cigarette machine. And even I thought, well, I mean, when I was in high school, people smoked. You had a smoking
section. There was a smoking
section.
Area, yeah.
There was a smoking section.
Yeah.
And the, we probably talked about this. The teacher's lounge was like, the Philip Morris factory, for God's sake. It's unbelievable.
No, I don't remember the cigarette.
You don't remember the cigarette thing.
No.
It may be better that they had
I do remember when you could smoke in a restaurant. I remember walking in, the first thing they say is smoking or non-smoking.
That's a nice bygone era. See, I like
kind of like
it's,
that.
I'm a throwback person. And
I liked the non-smoking, smoking era. You get to judge the people sitting on the other side.
When I was in high school, I took a trip to France. It was like a class trip, and we were on a smoking or non-smoking plane. I mean, you could smoke in the back section of the plane.
Wow.
And I sat two rows in front of the smoking section, so you just about choke the entire time.
Well, I mean, was there a barrier? No, it ends here.
So smoke
Sorry.
Hung in the air. Yeah. Exactly. I did see a story about a couple got in trouble. This is about weed. Remember I tried to get you to bring me back some
drugs? Yeah, man, I'm still sorry about
you
that.
You never did.
Dude.
You went to Colorado. Interesting. Flew to Colorado, mm-hmm. then drove back. So I thought, well, perfect. And you were supposed to get me some DRO, which stands for?
Hydroponics.
Hydroponics. Yeah. You didn't.
No.
A woman was just arrested because she smuggled marijuana into Jamaica. Into Jamaica.
Even care there?
No. I've been to Jamaica twice. I mean, anywhere you go, they're like, what do you need, man? You want some cocaine?
You
want some marijuana?
As soon as you get off the boat. Hey, man, I got you, bro.
Immediately. Yeah. You fly in, you get on a bus, you get off the bus, they're like, whatever you need. Yeah. The bus boy the bellhop told me, what do you need? I said, nothing. He goes, no, I mean, what do you need?
What's your pleasure, bro?
I was swimming in the ocean. A guy on a boat came next to the rope where he couldn't go any further. He's like, hey, cocaine, man, you want some marijuana? I mean, I was shirtless.
Yeah.
This woman tried to smuggle weed into Jamaica to prove that the American weed is as strong and powerful as the Jamaican. So she took it down there, like, for American pride.
Yeah.
Which
of
I kind of got.
Which is lacking right now. We need a little bit of that.
I like a little American
pride. What? I like this lady.
A little American pride.
Let her
pride.
Off the hook.
That's
she's
exactly
just trying
right.
to make us feel good about
That's
ourselves.
That's exactly right. And she said, I want to do better. I want to make it. I want to show that it's better. Last week, we talked about the movie Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Yes.
I've not seen it. You challenged me to listen to Kanye West's album.
Yes.
I've not.
Still not listened to it. Even sent you one this time.
I know. You did. Okay. And I told my son, I said, B.B. Shea wants me to listen to Graduation. Yeah. And he's like, oh, great album.
Yeah.
And that's my son. Now, my son just burst his eardrum listening to
the new Travis Scott record, Utopia.
That's it. Yep.
Yep.
What'd you think of it?
I'm not a Travis Scott fan.
Oh, boy. You two are really on odds.
Yeah.
You two do not
listen, he's big for the culture. I appreciate him, but I'm not a huge fan.
He and his friends got together at a cookout fast food restaurant to listen to the Travis Scott album drop, and they listened at such a high volume, his eardrum burst.
No way.
So he's on antibiotics and drops now. That's my...
And if you ask him, really completely worth it.
Oh, totally worth it.
He said,
totally worth it. But anyway, we were talking about movies. You had seen Barbie and Oppenheimer both on the same day. And I read now, and this is amazing to me, that AMC Theaters, which started in 1920, had their best week ever. Ever.
Because of those two
movies.
Because
of those two movies. And so many people went to see it, I guess. But I thought, how can that possibly be?
It's the power of the meme. That's what it
you
is.
Think it's, because
it's the power of the meme. People don't appreciate meme marketing. Mm-hmm.
Meme
marketing. So this whole Barbenheimer thing, it's a meme. They're not supposed to be seen together, but you have the dichotomy of this huge, big epic versus the guy who created the atomic bomb and Barbie.
Yeah.
And we're going to mash them together. And it wasn't even a studio thing.
Yeah.
This is the people doing this, taking pictures of Oppenheimer and Barbie hanging out
mashed
with the explosion in the back. And then people say, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's like me. I got caught up in it.
Yeah.
And I went to go see him.
But even still, where you can wait 3 weeks and stream it, or 6 weeks and stream it. And when theaters are, a month ago, everybody would say they're dying. Theaters are dying. Not just a good week, but the best week they've had since 1920. 1920 is when they started.
Yes, that's grassroots meme marketing.
Well,
right
and
there.
Of course, I mean, what's the price of the ticket now? I mean, that's based on money made.
True. That's still very impressive. Considering how bad the movie industry is right now.
I couldn't believe it. And everything since. What's the big flop they had? Oh, the Disney movie, the Haunted Mansion movie.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's going to.
Well, there's another one just like the Barbenheimer thing coming up.
What is that?
It's the brand new Saw movie, Saw 10,
yeah.
and the Paw Patrol movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing Saw Patrol. And this may be very similar.
I don't think it'll have the same effect.
I don't. Well, yeah, Barbenheimer was, that might be a flash in the pan.
Two quality movies,
but it was
too.
Still like.
But those are two, to me, quality
movies. But that was driven by social media, and yeah. it's all too.
It was.
Yeah, social media should be, yeah.
When Twitter came out and Facebook came out as social media, I remember my prediction was, this will last about 6 months. It's a big thing. It's become a big.
Twitter's a big thing.
It's become a big thing, and I mean, a lot of I'm even I go onto Instagram sometimes now.
Yeah.
And look at stuff. You know, I see weird, and I never know really what's going on there, but at least I see it. You know, it's out there for you, I guess. One more update too on your, and I got a lot of comment on this when you said that you this was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You said how much you enjoyed the smell of.
Asparagus piss. Yeah.
And I got a lot of people emailing me on that, and some agreed with you. Some said, oh my God, you're right.
It's an amazing smell.
But several people said, and I think this is something we do, that when you pee clear, everybody has this in common. When you pee a nice clear stream, you feel like you're really healthy and you're really proud of yourself for what you've done. Now, do you have that feeling as well?
No, I like it to be as yellow as possible. I like the more color, the better.
I don't know about that.
Better.
You know, when I pee and it's really bright yellow, I have to think, what have I had? You know, what have I done to make it that yellow? You don't think that way.
Well, see, my diet is just, you know, it's chaos, man.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to expect whenever I use the bathroom.
But I worry
so.
About that. Now, I when I pee and it's like a bright.
Well, for you, you're on a weight loss situation.
Yeah.
So you should kind of know what to expect.
Yeah.
Me, I just eat whatever's in front of me. So
like when you get a weird, like you don't worry about that.
Nah,
like,
I don't
do you take
that.
A look back? This is probably not because I'm aging and you're not.
Yeah.
Well, I'm older than you.
I'm getting to the point where I'm starting
to
be a little bit more
conscious
of it.
When you look, now I'm told, I read a lot of Here's How to Stay Healthy magazines and stuff, or, you know, articles. And I have heard when you eliminate, do a twosie.
Yeah.
Make sure you look back, really check it. You know, it should look the right way. Oprah Winfrey said it should be shaped like an S. It should be like curled. So I check it out every time and make sure that it looks just right. Do you do that yet?
Yeah, no, I don't.
You will.
I think the last time it was just black and scattered and all over the place.
That's trouble, I hate to say.
Is that good?
That's
is that a bad thing?
That's the worst possible thing. I saw, are you a fan of Jack Black? You remind me
of him. I love Jack Black. Yeah, yeah.
I've never been a fan. I did not like School of Rock. I didn't think that was all that good.
Bro, for real?
I did not.
What about School of Rock did you dislike?
I only saw it once.
Kids living their dream, playing music.
Oh,
I
hate that.
Can't stand it.
Oh, I hate that.
Don't like people having fun.
God, no.
Hell no.
You know my take on that. You remind me of Jack Black. You know,
I've heard that before, yeah.
So, and I don't like really either one of you. I think you're both... overrated. I think you're. I always look at both of you and go, I'm not sure why this guy catches
it.
But I saw School of Rock. I didn't love it. I thought it was just okay. Everybody, I guess I can't say I didn't like it, but everybody talked about how great it was, and I just wasn't that impressed. Anyway, I read him recently saying, like, he was on probably a podcast, and they asked him, what's your perfect day? And he said, you know, great sex in the morning, first thing.
Yeah.
Wonderful breakfast on an island or whatever, and he said, like, taking the best deuce I've ever had.
See, I've never understood that sentiment when people are like, I like taking
a
big old dump.
Okay.
It just makes me feel good.
That's an age thing for you.
It is.
Okay, here's why. I heard Dustin Hoffman say this. Now, Dustin Hoffman, you know Dustin Hoffman?
I like Dustin Hoffman.
You're a fan?
Yeah.
Me too.
Meet the Parents, man, or Meet the Fockers. Love that movie, yeah.
Meet the Parents is great.
Yeah.
And I think Meet the Fockers Part 2 is underrated.
I agree. Yeah. I think it may even be better than Meet the Parents.
Wow. Now I can't go that boy.
I mean, Dustin Hoffman, he's just...
He's great.
He adds so much to that.
I love that. You should see Tootsie. You ever see Tootsie?
No, I haven't. I've
That's
heard
a
40-year-old
movie.
And then, like, what's the Kramer vs. Kramer
oh
that he's
my
into?
God.
Yeah,
two of my all-time favorites. Two of my all-time favorites. Now, they're from... Kramer vs. Kramer is 1979. Tootsie's 1982.
Speaking of overrated, Meryl Streep.
You think?
Yeah, a little bit.
Wow.
I'm on the side of Trump on that one. I am not a big Meryl Streep fan.
You think she's overrated?
A little bit.
Well, she's been nominated for Academy Awards like 20 times.
See, that's the whole Denzel Washington thing, too.
Wow.
She's just give it to her. Why not?
Dang. Well, she's won a few now, hasn't she? For a while, she didn't win.
Yes.
Factoid here, she and Dustin Hoffman didn't get along in Kramer versus
Really?
Kramer. She hated working with him because there's one scene in it. You really should see it. It's a phenomenal movie, as is Tootsie.
Yeah.
Tootsie's his best movie, in my opinion.
Okay.
And of course, Rain Man. You see Rain Man?
Love Rain Man.
Great
yes,
movie.
Yes, love that one.
Love Dustin Hoffman. Anyway, in Kramer versus Kramer, and this is 1977, they're estranged parents. She leaves him out of nowhere. She's like, I'm leaving. And she left her young kid behind. Yeah. And it's like he's a dad who's never at home, but he has to take care of the child now. Anyway, they and so they bond. Well, she comes back like a year later and says, okay, I want custody of the kid. And they get into a huge court case. That's what it's about, Kramer versus Kramer.
Okay.
So they're sitting there when she comes back having a glass of wine or whatever, and he ad-libbed. He was mad at her, and he ad-libbed. He smashed the wine against the wall next to her, and it wasn't supposed to be done, and a piece of glass got into her eye.
Yeah, that's a little...
And she got really ticked about that and didn't speak to him for a long time.
A little cavalier there. Yeah, that's a little much.
But he was like, hey, I'm a method actor. I was in the moment or whatever. See The Graduate?
No, I never saw that either.
Great. He's got some great movies.
Now, yeah, I mean, he's definitely up there, I think, as
Tootsie's
far as...
my favorite, but The Graduate and Kramer versus Kramer and Rain Man are all top-notch.
What was he saying about taking dumps?
Okay, yeah. Let me get to the taking dumps. We should tease it and do it next time.
Right.
No, he said when you're 20, a 20-year-old wakes up on a Sunday morning and says, God, I had great sex last night, okay? A 40-year-old wakes up on Sunday morning and says, God, I had a great steak last night. And a 60-year-old wakes up on a Sunday morning and says, man, I took a great shit last night. And that's aging.
It's an aging thing.
That's aging.
I don't appreciate it yet.
I know, you don't. I saw a list of that. We'll do it next time.
Okay.
Things people say they're getting too old to tolerate. Like concerts without assigned seating or, arguing on Facebook, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm too old. I don't even care about it anymore.
That'll be a good one to get into. I got some feelings about those,
okay,
too.
Okay, we'll get it. Now, you'll say it's a boomer take. You always do.
I don't necessarily. I may agree
with
you
on those.
Okay,
that's what we'll do next week here.
Yeah.
What else do we have for the square and the round? I think Dustin Hoffman's taking a dump quote is a good place to end.
That is
a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to end it.
That spans a whole bunch of different generations.
I think so, too.
I think everybody can relate to that.
I know. What are you doing this week? Before next week, what will you be? What will you have done?
I'm going to see the Goo Goo Dolls tonight.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Going to the Goo Goo Dolls tonight.
I'm a fan. I'm
going
a fan
to
of that.
The Wyndham tomorrow. Going to
go
check
that
out.
So by next week this time, we'll
some stuff. And next week, I'm actually going to Phoenix.
Yeah,
so
are you
we'll meet once before then. But I'm gearing up to go to Phoenix. Yeah,
you wanted to find the hottest place you could possibly.
Yeah,
are you going to see a Diamondbacks game?
Going to see a Diamondbacks
game.
You
are a
baseball. Yes,
person.
Baseball traveling. So
okay, well, good luck.
Yeah, I know it's going to be hot, bro.
Yeah, boy, the Yankees this year, man.
Oh, gee, I don't even want to get into that.
That's your team. All right,
I don't want to get into it.
That'll be next week. We'll have next week. The Square of the Wild. Thanks for listening.